The holiday of Thanksgiving was created for Americans to praise and thank God for our national and individual blessings. But praising and thanking God should not only be done once a year. The Bible reveals that a true Christian's life must be built around expressing sincere gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Understand the critical importance of these two great spiritual building blocks and how to implement them in your life. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
What a wonderful thing it is, and what a wonderful God we have. I begin all my prayers with thanksgiving. First of all, for God Himself, that the one who has more power, more authority above every power is God, who is love and who loves me and who will never leave nor forsake me. Then I thank Him for a lot of other things and for the truth He's given me. I thank Him next, usually, day after day after day, for beating me down, for conquering me, for bringing me to a point of unconditional surrender to Him. And I said, I'd give my life to You. Now, brother, I have to confess I haven't always left that life in His hands. I'm sorry for that. But you read in 1 John, the first chapter, that if we in the church, that's we, not the outside world, confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But you can't, two can't walk together except to be agreed. I agree with God, but sometimes I do what I don't agree with. I have, and I'm doing it less and less all the time. Maybe I haven't overcome 100% yet. I'm still working on one or two things. David was a man after God's own heart. David sinned a great deal, terrible sins. But he never committed those sins again. He repented. Everybody has sinned. We all have. You know, you don't have to worry about that. Christ paid the penalty in your place. Your penalty is all paid. You're free from it. Isn't that wonderful? But I thank God, then, for revealing His truth, for conquering me, for revealing His truth, and then, what is more important, letting me share that truth with thousands and millions of people around the world.
That's from a message that Herbert Armstrong gave back in December of 1981, and the church at that time, the Worldwide Church of God, was coming through some difficult trials. In fact, if you read Herbert Armstrong's autobiography, he had his share of difficulties, obstacles, trials, tests, and yet, as you heard there, he just continually gave God thanks. He praised God, and this is how he started his prayers every day. Welcome back to the show. This is Stephen Flurry sitting in for my father on The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us for the program today. A few weeks ago, we advertised Herbert Armstrong's final book, Mystery of the Ages. And as you heard there at the end of that clip, he said one of the great blessings that God gave to him was that he was able to give the truth of God to so many other people. He was giving God thanks continually, and God was giving him revelation and truth. And then he just wanted to give. It's God's way of life, the way of give, the way of unselfishly outflowing love and concern for others. And when he put together that book in the final year of his life, Mystery of the Ages, he said, this is the most valuable gift that I can give to you. And I know we just offered this a few weeks ago, and we played that clip of him saying that, you know, I believe God inspired this book. God gave me this truth. And now I want to give it away to you. And we do the same thing today. We give it away freely. You can call the number on your screen and ask our operators for a free copy of Mystery of the Ages, the book that Herbert Armstrong wrote in the last year of his very eventful, productive life. And it was the most popular book the Worldwide Church of God ever produced. And then his successors came along and they tried to blot out that message. And we didn't let that happen. We fought for it. 6 years of litigation so that we could give it away to you freely. Listen to what he wrote. This is in a coworker letter in 1985, just a few months before he died. He talked about working on the most important book of his life. In real fact, I feel I myself did not write it. Rather, I believe God used me in writing it. He was God's instrument And he was so happy to serve God. And as he said in that clip I played for you, what a wonderful God we serve and worship. And above all, we ought to be thankful for the spiritual wealth, the spiritual blessings that he continually does give to us. It's just nonstop. It's so easy to just get caught up in the spirit of this age, which is the spirit of selfishness, the spirit of get. It's the spirit of ingratitude. I'll come to that a little bit later in the show. But he said in this coworker letter, "This book is a partial expression of my thanks and gratitude to you for being a co-laborer with me and with Jesus Christ." Mr. Armstrong says, "With all my heart, I do appreciate and thank God for your part with me in the wonderful work in these closing days." It's such a wonderful work to be able to serve God, to be able to declare the mystery, to be able to proclaim the truth in a world where there's just so many lies and so much deception. In fact, Revelation 12 and verse 9 says that the whole world is deceived. So how special is God's truth in a world full of deception? God's truth is the most valuable and precious information that we could receive. It really and truly is a gift from God. 1 Chronicles 16, we'll begin our study looking at King David and something that he institutionalized in ancient Israel. He wanted them to be always aware of the blessings from God, and he wanted to be praising God. He wanted the whole nation to get caught up in a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, and they did. I mean, they did, and you look at our nations today. I mean, even though curses have set in, and the United States and Britain in prophecy certainly shows that that's what's happening in our nation, in America in particular, but you still have the blessings of Abraham. They're still plainly evident, and we should be thankful for what God has given to this nation. We should be praising and thanking God always for the blessings of prosperity and wealth and strength and power that he's given to the United States. Mr. Armstrong said in one of his old letters that, you know, if you want to praise and thank God more, you ought to read the first chapter of Ephesians. And really the focus there, we won't take the time to do that on today's show, but the focus in that first chapter is on spiritual blessings from God and giving thanks and praise to God because of it. But here in 1 Chronicles 16, notice verse 4, this is David. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Eternal and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. David organized this. We've got to have people that are devoted just solely to praising and thanking God. I want to give you a quote from one of my father's books, The New Throne of David. And he says here, David continually praised and thanked God. He said, "We must always be praising God and thanking God for everything he gives." That reflects very spiritual thinking. He says the fact that David praised and thanked God so much shows strongly that he was a man after God's own heart. You can see that over in Acts 13 and verse 22. He had a heart like God's. A man after God's own heart builds his life around praising and thanking God. It says, when you praise and thank God continually, do you realize how converted that makes you? David used his authority to be sure that praise and thanks for God were emanating from Israel, because that's the way David believed and thought. David really, I mean, he was a believer. He practiced what he preached. You can see it in the Psalms. That's another book I want to draw your attention to today, the Psalms of David and the Psalter of Tara. This is a book my father finished a little over a year ago. It has a wonderful, uplifting, inspiring message, and it will really help you to just revolve around praising and thanking God more and really putting it in at the beginning of your prayers, just like Mr. Armstrong did. Starting off with prayers of thanksgiving, with prayers of praise. Notice verse 8, this is still in 1 Chronicles 16. Give thanks unto the Eternal, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Draw attention to His mighty works. God had Moses tell the Israelites this before David came along. Don't forget all of these miracles. Don't forget God's miraculous hand. Tell your children about it. Tell their children about it. Remember that history, that glorious history. Remember the victories, even the trials and the tests. I mean, that first clip I played for you from Mr. Armstrong, as I say, he was coming out of the 1970s was a difficult time for the Worldwide Church of God. Lots of rebellion, lots of insurrections. And yet here is Herbert Armstrong. He moved forward with courage and also with a very positive, thankful attitude. He praised and thanked God every day at the start of his prayers. Verse 9, it says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk you of all his wondrous works. And then down in verse 25, it says, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, greatly to be praised. God wants us to really put some passion and zeal into our praise for God, to show Him that we're thankful, that we mean it, that we love Him. Verse 29 says, give unto the Eternal the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Does that describe you? Worshiping God in the beauty of holiness? You just love God. You love His truth. You love the spiritual blessings. And even physically, look at what God has bestowed upon our nation. Look at what He's given. Just think about the positives. Think about the blessings and the gifts. Most people don't. They think about all the negative things. They think about what more they want. If they ask God for anything, they ask Him for things just to satisfy their lusts of the flesh. It says, we are here to learn to praise and thank God as a way of life. That's from the New Throne of David book. It's got to become a way of life. Praising and thanking God is a God-centered way of life. God wants to be right in the center of your affairs. And think about the fruits of the Spirit described over in Galatians 5. One of them is joy. God is a joyous being. God is a positive being. And we're here to be like Him, to follow in Jesus Christ's steps. Christ even, I mean, you look at the final hours of His ministry, just before He's about to be crucified, just before He's about to go through this agonizing trial, and He talked a fair bit to the disciples about them being filled with joy. He said during the foot washing ceremony in John 13, this is the night before He's crucified, if you do this, you're going to be happy. He was talking about happiness and joy all the way through to the end. And look at what He had to face in the end. It would have been easy to be negative. It would have been easy to complain. 1 Chronicles 25, notice verse 1, it says, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps and psalteries and with cymbals, and a number of the workmen according to their service was. They prophesied with these musical instruments, with harps and psalteries. They sang and they danced for God. This is from this book, The Psalms of David and the Psalter of Terah. As I say, if you don't have a copy of this, it's a wonderful and uplifting message and a deep study, by the way, into the book of Psalms. It goes on for 200 plus pages. If you don't have a copy, make sure you call our operators today and request a free copy. I'll give you a quote from the book. It says, David loved to praise God and thank God and show love for God. He wrote songs, then appointed singers and assembled giant choirs whose job was simply to praise God. It says he institutionalized praise for God. This is later on. God's commission brought Jeremiah late in his life to Ireland. It says there this venerable and faithful prophet not only accomplished what God had asked of him regarding the throne of King David, but went on to establish a culture of praise and thanks, of music and dance, patterned after the model David had established four centuries earlier. It just spread into Ireland through the prophet Jeremiah. He modeled it after King David, everything that he institutionalized. And so much of what we do right here on this campus, we've got a college for young people, we have an academy for all of the earlier grades, and so many of the students are involved in music and dance. Some of you might be familiar with our stage production, Celtic Throne. The first one we had, I think it went out for 3, 4, 5 years, and then just last year we started Celtic Throne number 2, The Psalter of Ireland. And it went overseas, in fact, to the Middle East, to the UK, and it just got rave reviews. If any of you watch my daily program, The Trumpet Daily, you can get to that at our website, thetrumpet.com. But we often would play the feedback from those shows. And the thing that's striking in all of that feedback is just how positive the experience was. The show has a positive, uplifting message, and it's built around families. You don't see much of that today. All of these families directly involved in the production, whether on stage or backstage. And it puts a smile on people's faces. And then the performers, so many of them young people, they head out to the lobby after the show is over and meet up with some of the people that saw the show. If you'd like to see the show, there's a U.S. tour coming to the upper Midwest in January of 2026. You can go to CelticThrone.com and find a city near you. I think I listed some of them off. Chicago, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Indianapolis, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And of course, we have one right here on this stage in Edmond, Oklahoma. And you can get tickets for these shows at CelticThrone.com. There's a promo code, by the way, LoveStep, just in one word. If you type in LoveStep for the promo code, you can get $20 off the tickets, the higher price tickets. The lower price tickets are very reasonable as it is. So remember the promo code. And speaking of promos, here's about a minute of what we've produced to promote this production.
It captivated the United Kingdom this summer. Now it returns to America. This January, 8 shows, 6 cities, 1 unforgettable night of inspiration and joy. Experience Celtic Throne 2, Psalter of Ireland. Join the Celtic family. Experience this trailblazing new show. An electrifying fusion of Irish dance, music, theatre and cinema. Don't miss your opportunity to experience the revolutionary new Irish dance show capturing the hearts of audiences all over the world. Get show and ticket information at CelticThrone.com.
My children have been in both of the productions, Celtic Throne 1 and Celtic Throne 2, and you know, they've received a lot of special training over the years. And one thing that I tried to help them do or help them see when they were just little children, now they're into their 20s, but I tried, whether we were living in Jerusalem for a summer or in the UK for 5, 6 years, we just tried to, my wife and I tried to help them be grateful, even for great instruction. I mean, here's King David, to go back to the example earlier, and he's appointing all these people saying, Now, your job is to praise God and do it continually. Do it daily. Do it twice a day. It's easy to just take things for granted or to not appreciate blessings from God, opportunities from God. Give God thanks. We, of all people, ought to be appreciative and thankful, just given the spiritual blessings alone. As Mr. Armstrong suggested, go and read Ephesians 1. I mean, that's just one example. You can go through this book, read through, study through the Psalms of David, read about the culture that Jeremiah brought to Ireland, and it will uplift you. And that's the way God wants for us to be. This is a quote from the Psalms of David book. David thought a lot on how to teach the nation spiritual truths. He wrote these poems into songs, and he assembled massive choirs to sing them and to teach them to the congregation. He formalized and required praise and thanksgiving to help the people see God's hand in their lives. God wants for us to see his hand. He wants just the mere exercise of having the veil lifted, the scales lifted, so that we can see in a world that's described in the Bible as dark and blind and deceived. Just that miracle alone, that's of God. John 6:44. No man can come to God unless God draws us through Christ. If God does that, give God thanks. Give God praise. Notice what Paul says about this world, this present evil world. You can see that in Galatians 1 and verse 4. Here in Romans 1, he's talking about God's physical or material creation and how that if your eyes are open, you can see God in his creation. Even with all of the things that man has done to mar the landscape, you can still see God's creative hand just in looking at the material creation. But notice what man did. It says in verse 21 of Romans 1, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I mean, if we don't glorify God, if we're not giving God thanks, then we become vain in our imaginations. We just turn inward and become selfish. And it's all about me. It's all about vanity and pride. And the world is full of that. It's everywhere. Notice what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. It says, this know also that in the last days, perilous or dangerous times shall come. I mean, this is obviously talking about our time today. I talked about this recently on a program. I mean, the evil is to wax worse and worse. And Paul, in this passage, he's describing all of the evil that we see everywhere. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I mean, here he's listing, it's a lengthy list, and he's got unthankful in there. I mean, God cares about how appreciative and thankful we are, and he's upset when we're not, when we don't give thanks. If we don't give thanks, well, read the rest of Romans 1 and see what happens. God says he just gives you over to reprobate thinking, a mind void of judgment, useless reasoning, human reasoning. Mr. Armstrong said this in an article back in 1961. He says, one of the most common sins among God's people has always been griping, complaining, called murmuring in the Bible. This attitude of criticizing, finding fault, grumbling is negative, unspiritual, and is a disease that produces unhappiness and loss of faith in the perpetrator and great annoyance to others who hear it. And he says the cure is to set your mind in the opposite mood, that of gratitude. You can cure it with God's help. Just set your mind, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on the things above. set your mind in the direction of gratitude. I mean, he says here that it's one of the most common sins among God's people, even in God's family. It's common to be ungrateful and unthankful. Notice what Paul had to say. Again, I'm focusing some on him, but this is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. He talked a lot, Paul did, about being grateful, about being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything. That's everything. In everything, give God thanks. Mr. Armstrong said this, "Do you just take all these good things for granted, unconcerned? It's time all of us realize how blessed we are and give God thanks." He said, let's be grateful. Let's celebrate God and His way of life, His culture, His joy, His music even, His poetry. As I said earlier, Mystery of the Ages, and then this book here, the Psalms of David, the Psalter of Tara. This will really help you to institutionalize that vision of praise and thanksgiving into your life and into your household. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us, and we hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our books, The Psalms of David and the Psalter of Tara, and Mystery of the Ages. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.